Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. Jump, as I'm jumping behind the mic, as I just said there. Hey, welcome out today. This is a wonderful show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so freaking hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now or longer or never, but today. So you can have that life of freedom now. So you can be able to do what you love, to be with those that you love, and do it whenever you feel like. And it's not, it's a place where you can work because you want to, not because you have to. But it's not just for your own comfort and convenience, but it's because you actually want to be a blessing in other people's lives too. You want to be able to create that impact. You want to be able to create a ripple effect through their lives and be able to help them. Because as you become financially prosperous, you have the ability, the freedom, the power, the ability to able to help more people. And I'm so excited to be a part of that movement with you guys. Thank you for allowing me to create a ripple effect through you. Because without you guys, I couldn't do it. And you guys have been amazing. I love that you've been able to share this show with friends and family and coworkers and colleagues and all kinds of people. And you've even been binging on it and everything else. And so I appreciate it so much for what you guys have done and being a part of this journey and making this ripple effect possible. As a reminder, you can check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's a great ebook on there called Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today, where you can learn how to actually improve your cash flow, find the money to be able to go and invest and do more things to create that life of freedom. So check it out. Hey guys, quick shout out to our sponsor, American Homeowner Preservation. Hey guys, if you want to make a great rate of return with little money out of pocket, even as little as $100, and do it while helping other people as well, check these guys out. You know, the website's fundingahp.com. The way they do it, they crowdfund money, people's money together to go and help essentially become the bank. They buy up people's mortgages that are defaulting, people that are late on their mortgages. They help them refinance, stay in their home, and or sell their home so that they can be in a better financial position. And the cool thing is that they pay awesome returns and they pay it monthly. And like I said, you can invest with as little as $100. So check them out. Websites, fundingahp.com. That's fundingahp.com. Check them out. So today I wanted to go on something because I thought, hey, it's Valentine's Day, right? So naturally we should be talking about the love, you know, and I'm definitely no love expert, just so you know. One thing I would want to talk about today is really about money. You know, because I'll tell you, I've talked with so many people recently where money is in the relationship aspect, whether it's your partner, your spouse, your fiance, or girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever, right? I'll tell you that this is a big, big topic. And in fact, it's such an important one that marriages are either succeed or destroyed based on these money aspects alone. You know, this is a place where there's some major damage done. And I really want to get into that. And I want to bring up a few points about how to get on the same page as your spouse. And I've done something like this before, but I want to add more depth to this one than I've done in ones past. Partly because of my own experience, having been married, not just once, but actually technically 3 times I've been married. I'm on my 3rd marriage, hoping that 3rd time's a charm. And definitely money has been a big topic for sure. And I want to make sure you guys definitely get the best of what I've learned. Both good and bad, and also how you can use it to improve in your own relationship, to be able to come together and become a powerful force. You become your own power couple of sorts, if you think about it that way, right? So really want to get into that today. So the first thing you got to do, and I've mentioned this on other podcasts before, but the first thing you want to do is start to create that time together, right? You really need to start tracking your money, both your income and your expenses, and doing this at least, if not on a weekly basis, at least every 2 weeks, more than once a month. I think it really is necessary to do more than just once a month. You know, and so I recommend that you guys first and foremost start tracking your money. Now, you might designate one spouse or the other to do this. And there's different ways to track your money, right? Again, I said income and expenses. Remember that in scarcity, a saver only looks at the expenses. They kind of ignore the income. They look at how can I cut down everything that I'm spending, right? That's not good. It's good to a point in the sense you want to be efficient with what you're spending, but that cannot be the entire focus. On the flip side, the spenders focus on what they're bringing in, but they ignore what's going out, right? We don't want to do that either. Both of those are in scarcity, and neither one can create freedom. The steward mentality says, I got to look at both. I need to figure out, one, how do I make my expenses more efficient? How can I reduce unnecessary expenses and do things that are actually good for our family? And then two, how do I increase our income, increase our means? Because it's not just living within your means, it's how do I increase it to make it better? So you got to do both of those sides of the equation. Now, here's the thing that I would say that's different or updated from previous episodes. However you choose to track your money is entirely up to you. Do it the way that works best for you. If you're already doing this, great. I commend you. That's step one. Good job. The thing is, like, there's great tools out there. For example, free tools I've mentioned before, Mint. You know, you go to mint.com and there's a Mint app you can get on your phone. In my opinion, it's a great app. It's an easy thing to use. It's very visual, but it's also leverage. I love you'll have something that says, hey, you've already said this was part of this category before. So when you went to Chevron, you gassed up or Arco or whatever, it's gasoline. And I like that it'll say, hey, this is gasoline from here forward. And so you just have to kind of go in after some time, after you do the initial work. That's the hard part with this, is tracking your money. By the way, don't worry about budgets so much right now. Budgets don't work unless you've been tracking your money on a regular basis. Because so many people will try to create a budget before they even know what they're spending. And you just can't do that. You can't create a budget if you don't know what you're making either, because then the numbers don't match up. And then you get depressed, and then you feel shameful, and then you give up. And don't do that. You want to start tracking your money first, at least for a good 6 months plus, 6 to 12 months of tracking your money and seeing how you're spending before you can really create a good, solid, I don't even like the word, you use the word budget. I like to use the word spending plan, because money is meant to be used. Stewards are always looking for ways to use their money. Even if you save it, you save with a purpose. You save for a way to be able to say, let's go ahead and put this away for this, right? It's not just saving for saving's sake. There's got to be a purpose behind your money, or it'll never happen. So anyways, coming back to that, tracking your money. You know, I recommend either Mint, it could be QuickBooks. I know I've had other people mention things like You Need a Budget. Some people love that. I wish that that program actually downloaded your stuff. That's one thing that Mint does, that downloads everything. You don't have to upload anything to it. It just does it automatically once you connect the banks. And I love that. Some banks try to do it too, but I've noticed the banks, institutions are not great at that whole tracking of your money. And it's only with one account. With something like Mint, if it's a similar tool like that, and I know there's other ones, like another business one. This is more for business. I use QuickBooks for business. I have a client that uses Wave Financial for tracking his business numbers. That can work too. But one thing I like about Mint is that I can connect all of my accounts to one place. So it downloads one place. I could turn on and off different accounts. So like savings accounts, I don't actually track those. I just keep it on the checking accounts that I use. Even my loan balances, I actually track my loans and everything else and watch the progress and the net worth. All that stuff is really fun. But again, there's different tools you can use. My wife, here's one thing I've learned in this marriage is that my wife and I, we both were used to running the finances in our previous relationships, in our previous marriages. Well, you can imagine when we get together and both of us want control, we want to do it our way, the ways that have worked for us. It was an interesting way of trying to blend and connect and make this work. You know what happened? I eventually had to let go of my ego and say, you know what, baby, you do it your way. You know, I can do it mine. You can do it yours. It's nothing, you know, you double check my work. I double check yours, whatever. It doesn't matter. I actually let her run that. I let her use a spreadsheet and everything else. Now, here's the key is this is why you've got to do, you know, if not weekly, at least every 2 weeks. Because here, if you don't do this on a regular basis, what's going to happen is you're not going to know what they are. So one thing my wife will do is she'll say, hey, I'm working on our money right now. Hey, there's some expenses. I can't recall what these were. Can you help me? Now, if you had gone a couple months and not actually talked about this stuff, most likely you've probably forgotten about what you charged, right? And you're like, I don't even remember what that is. You know, what is it? And you're like Googling the name of that shows up on the bank statement to see if it pops up with a company name. And you know, and sometimes I still do that even if it's recent. But if it's something like we're doing this every week or pretty darn close, it's pretty easy to figure out, hey, I think I remember what I spent that on because that was just about the same time. So it's really good to get on the same page. I'll tell you, one thing that saved our keisters is that now it's been 2 years in a row, I've had my card hacked, you know, where people have gone and made fraudulent charges. That I remember we were moving into a new house. And so we kind of forewent. We really weren't doing our money, our normal tracking, because we were just, our life was in chaos a little bit while moving into a new home. Well, after we finally looked at the numbers about a month later. And in fact, I think it was even because the bank called us to say, hey, you noticed this charge on your account. And I was like, whoa, yeah, you're right that we didn't do that. And it was like little $50 charges and stuff. Lo and behold, when it was all done, we had over $1,200 that had been fraudulently charged that we had to have refunded back, cancel the card and everything else. Guys, if you're not tracking your money, this is where some of the biggest money leaks can happen. Sometimes it's stuff that you didn't even spend money on. It's what somebody else spent on, right? So this is key, is that you want to be able to find how to be efficient with your money and know what's happening. And here's the key, is that even if one of you are tracking it, you both need to get together to discuss it. Now, I'm going to add a second point to this as well. I know that was kind of a sub point of doing what works, right? Here's a second thing you need to do. And this is something I would add that I haven't done before, is both of you need to be involved in some way. Even if one person's doing the tracking, there still needs to be this partnership. And here's what I've seen happen a lot, right? Is either one, the man tries to, you know, control the money. You know, this is common, especially if the man's a breadwinner, he tries to control it too. And then the wife feels out of control, or she feels like she has, you know, no say in the situation, because especially if it's only one person working. If you get two people working, this isn't as big of an issue. But in my experience, if there's just one person making the money, whether it's the man or the woman, they a lot of times will say, hey, I make the money, I call the shots. This cannot happen, guys. Especially if you're a man and you're using your what you feel like is your authority or your right to say, hey, I make the money, I call the shots, you can't spend that money, you can't do this, or hey, you need to pay less. I cannot tell you, there's been several times I've heard women complain because they'll say, my husband still thinks we should be living on the same grocery budget as 10 or 20 years ago with different situations. Guys, if this is you, stop it now. I'm being flat out serious. This is bull crap. You cannot do that. First of all, this is your partner, not your slave. Secondly, here's the deal, guys. You're an idiot. If you think this, you're being a moron, because there's something called inflation. I'm sure you've heard of it. Guys, things change. Life changes. Don't try to keep somebody trapped to that. And yes, I did that young in my marriage with my last wife. There's times I'm like, well, can't we keep it to the same budget? Why are you spending more on groceries? I remember that wife, she told me, she's like, listen, look at the prices. You go shopping with me and find out what it's like. And she was right. I was like, yeah, things are more expensive than they were when I was a single guy in college. Yeah, things might change in the last couple of decades. Guys, you cannot do this and start to say, hey, I make the money, do what I say. Because here's what's going to happen. You're not going to be married anymore. And I'm not saying that's what killed my last marriage, but I'm just saying this is one good way to destroy your own marriage. You know, do not do that. This person is your partner. You know, whether it's your fiance, your girlfriend, or whatever. And women, of course, vice versa. But I don't hear this so much from the women as I do from the men, is that do not use this as a way to exercise authority over somebody, especially in a way that's not cool, right? Do in a way that actually is really helping and coming together on the same page, not driving a wedge between you, because she is too precious. She is too much your queen, and a king cannot treat a queen that way. All right, so I'm off my soapbox there. But guys, I'm just going to say this, is when it comes down to it, it's all about really getting both involved. And women, on the flip side, if you are the one running the finances, let the man feel like he actually has some ability to do something. You know, allow him to feel like he can be your leader and your protector. And if he is a provider, great, let him be a provider and allow him to be a part of these decisions. Rather than saying, you know what? Yeah, get out of my space. And I'll tell you, I understand why there could be reasons you might feel that way. You know, you might feel like he gets stressed or she gets stressed, you know, whether no matter which spouse it is, you might say, hey, boy, it's tough because, man, they get so stressed when we talk about money. Yes. But here's the, guys, one way to avoid scarcity with these conversations is to look at this as just as if you're looking at somebody else's money. If you have to detach yourself emotionally, do it. You might look at this and say, hey, this is like looking at our in-laws, you know, their money, or maybe our children's money. And what would we recommend here to do that? There's so much emotional baggage tied with money, especially from your childhood or your marriage or any time. And believe me, I've had some traumatic experiences with money that I know what that's like. You know, I've had fears come up. I remember even just buying our house. You know, I was freaking out because the price was almost the same exact price as the house I lost during the last recession. And I thought, well, no, what if it happens again? And I needed my wife, Adise, I needed her there to say, Chris, you know, this is fine. This is not the same situation. We're okay. You know, and she was right. I was totally okay. It was just the old scars and emotions that followed with me that she could tell was stress. And that was kind of bringing a little bit of uneasiness to her. Luckily, she was strong. She's like, nope, that's not, this ain't real. You know, dig in, Chris, do your work, figure out what's going on with your emotions right now and work on it. And I did. And you know what? I feel like I was able to break new barriers because of it. So I get this can be an emotional conversation. Don't make it emotional. You know, really look at it and saying, here's what it is. You know, and trust me, I've had plenty of emotional conversations. Even when you have plenty of money, you can still have some pretty heated topics, right? It can definitely happen. Here, I'll add another bonus too. When it comes to working together, avoid financial infidelity, right? I did an episode a long time ago with Dino Watt. He was a guest, and I love that term he used, where he called it financial infidelity, which is you keep secrets from your spouse. You start doing things or putting money away and stuffing away in secret. Guys, this is not how you get on the same page. And if anything, this can be more damaging than actual physical or emotional infidelity with someone else. Because this is something that's near and dear. This can break down a trust in a relationship. So don't try to do things because you feel like you're going to get denied, right? Again, I've seen a lot of situations where people said, yeah, we lost thousands of dollars because my spouse was, stealing money from us essentially to go do this. You know, it might've been in some cases, even worse cases, extreme cases like drugs and things like that. You know, again, getting on the same page requires clarity. Give you an example. I had a client about 10 years ago where she had charged up over $100,000 of credit cards and her husband had no clue. And it was hard. I just told her, I said, listen, for us to solve this problem, we can actually get free up a lot of cash flow here. I think we freed up over $4,000 a month. But I said, to do this though, we need to talk to your husband. We need to get you on the same page. You need to let him know what's happening and that we have a plan to get out. But this cannot happen again. You cannot be charging these cards because she was going on a self-help kick. She was paying everybody and their dog to do stuff. And I was the last person she paid. And I said, this needs to be the last thing you do. You need to take a break. And so she told her husband, it was not pretty. Like he was mad. He was very upset. And for weeks, even months and years, he still had distrust. You know, he lacked trust in her because of what she had done. Now, he was glad we had a plan, but he was definitely not happy about it. And so we had to create some game plan, mostly using the money that she had to figure out how she can work her way out of it without having to use his money. You know, the money or the other money he was making because he didn't want to feel like he was having to fill a hole. Fortunately, he also decided, hey, we're in this together. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Let's get our finances combined. Let's get on the same page. And it worked out great. But you guys, you gotta really be on the same page. And being on that same page requires you guys to be open and honest with each other. Even if it means you have to admit you did something wrong, right? You know, I've made that mistake before. It's not pretty. It's not fun, but when you get it out and you work together on the problem, sometimes this could be the very thing that brings you on the same page more than anything, more than just tracking your money and doing stuff and doing your little meetings together. This, I'll tell you, like just by solving problems together can really get you guys working towards a common goal, especially in a society where husband and wife and people in general are disconnected. You know, we're on our phones more than we are with our spouses, you know? We turn on our phones more than we turn on our spouses, right? I mean, that's the problem with what's going on in the world today. Work on this together, even if it's painful. This can become one of the most beautiful things in your relationship. All right. And the last point I'm going to say is when you're doing these weekly or bi-weekly meetings, right? Or bi-monthly, I should say, not bi-weekly, bi-monthly. When you're doing this, these meetings every week or two, also at least once per month, talk about your dreams and goals. Don't just track about how much you spent or how much money's coming in, but talk to each other about what are your dreams? What are your goals? What do you want to do? And start creating some goals. For example, if you're not saving any money right now, maybe you're putting nothing away in the savings. I hope you are. But if you're not putting any away, create a goal to do that. Go in your bank, set up an automatic draft, maybe starting that day and doing it monthly. And maybe you start with $5, $10, $20, $50, $100 a month, whatever it is. If you haven't done anything, you feel like you can't afford it, do $10. I guarantee you won't miss it. You know, it'll be gone and you'll still keep living life the way you always have, but you'll now have $10 in savings. That can be a fun goal just to kind of build that up. You might say, hey, the next goal is to build up enough savings to make a car payment or make a house payment. Maybe it's to be able to pay for your expenses for 6 months eventually or more, whatever it might be. Maybe it's creating an investment account and so you can start creating more passive income. Wink, wink. That's what we'd love to talk about, right? Especially on the show. Yes, yeah, that's the kind of stuff we want to do. And so start to dream together. Start to create what's possible. Don't get caught in the perfection, you know, conundrum where you're caught in the gap, right? The gap of where you are versus where you want to be. And then you get depressed because it looks like it's so far away. Look at the progression. Look at each step. Make little mini goals to start accomplishing. Something you can accomplish even by the next time you meet. And just those little things. Start to set that. Again, working together because you guys are way more powerful together. And you will find out that even if one person might seem stronger with the finances, what you realize that you actually complement each other. You each have strengths you bring to the table that can actually make you more powerful and move you to your goals faster. So I challenge you guys, one, meet weekly, if not every 2 weeks. You know, two, you know, and do whatever system you work. Two, make sure you're working together, that each of you have a role in this, that you're not just having one person in charge of the finances. Each of you have roles that you're doing within that. You know, it could be one person watching the finances while the other one pays the bills. You know, it's not just one person makes the money, the other one manages the finances. There needs to be working together. There needs to be something you guys are doing together, including setting goals. And that's what once a month you want to do is start looking at saying, hey, what kind of goals can we achieve together that we can get on the same page? You know, I just talked to a client just this week. Her and her husband, actually, he was always the one managing the finances and doing everything. She was the one that was like, hey, I'm at home with the kids. And felt like there was that disconnect, right? And he was the ultimate saver. Like Dave Ramsey loves him, you know, like he had a love affair with Dave Ramsey, right? And anyway, you know, we're talking about Valentine's Day and love, so why not? Anyways, so he was all about Dave Ramsey. What was cool is as we got together, we got on the same, you know, as we started to get, you know, talk with each other and stuff, you know, we started to try to open up into that abundance perspective, you know, him being able to release that saver mentality and realize that, hey, it's okay to spend and especially invest money. I'll tell you, once he got it, he got it. And especially with the investment side, he loved it. The hard thing for him was spending money on things that his wife needed for her own well-being and her health. Now he did it, which I love. They talked about it. They did it. They made it work. And now she's a huge fan and a huge support in what he's doing right now. And she's even taken over his investment side of the business. Now he's focusing more on work. She's doing things like Airbnb rentals and turnkeys and everything else, becoming really from a tax and a legal standpoint, a real estate professional, you know, and doing that. And she now has the energy and the passion, and they feel like they're working on things together where they are on track that about the time they hit 40, maybe even a little bit earlier, they'll be out of the rat race. I mean, how cool is that, guys? And I'll tell you, I guess if I were to add one last bonus here, right? In addition to just doing these kind of tactics, right? Sometimes one of the best things you guys need to get on the same page is to have a third party involved, you know? And not trying to be self-promoting of myself because I may not be your person, but it could be whoever you resonate the most with, but you might need somebody to kind of bridge the gap between you two because the likelihood is one's been more of a spender while the other one's been a saver. Usually you don't get two savers together, although that can happen. I do see that from time to time, but usually you get two different money mentalities and it doesn't always come out easy. It's hard because you guys both have your own ideas and then whoever seems to have the more dominant personality ends up being the one that makes the decisions and that could leave the other one kind of feeling left out and feeling not like they're a partner or a spouse anymore and feeling really like they're just a roommate. And you don't want that, guys. You really want to be together working as partnership, as a power couple to make this path towards freedom amazing. And so, hey, look for that third party if you need it. Say, hey, let's take that next level. Let's get a third party to bring us together on the same page. Maybe give us another perspective neither of us are seeing to help us get there faster. So anyways, guys, if that's me, awesome. I love it. You can always reach out to me, you know, chris@moneyripples.com. You can shoot me an email or through my website. You can message me as well. But either way, you know, find that third party, whatever it is. It could be Dave Ramsey. And if you're having budgeting issues, you know what? He might be a good person to talk to. Like if or not talk to, he won't talk to him, but his little Financial Peace University program could be the thing for you. Like you might need those little baby steps first. You know, I come in a different phase usually, you know, like I understand those steps, but you know, most time it's more of helping people get on the same page to be able to create passive income and live a life that they love. Right. And so anyways, guys, I hope you make a wonderful romantic Valentine's day this year or date, whatever you have for this weekend. But ultimately I hope this creates not just a great day or a week, but this creates a great life, a life that you guys work together powerfully, that you guys work together in a way that love can flourish. And more importantly, guys, if you're trying to create a ripple effect, what better ripple effect to create through your family by showing them how you do it? Because most families and couples do not like to talk about money, and they don't teach their kids how to do it, and they create a legacy of ignorance. Guys, imagine how awesome it would be. You could be on the same page. You could be working together, talking abundantly about money, even if there's challenges, still come from a place of abundance. And you can teach that to your kids to create a legacy beyond you that goes to your grandkids and beyond of healthy money attitudes. How amazing would that be? So everybody, I hope you make it a wonderful and lovely and romantic Valentine's week, and we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.